Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The numbers are big, $1.3 billion in Medicare and Medicaid fraud, 400 defendants in 41 federal districts. Quite a day's work for the Health and Human Services Inspector General, working with state and local and federal law enforcement. Joining me with more from the 2017 takedown, Tom O'Donnell, Assistant IG for Investigations. Mr. O'Donnell, good to have you on.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Now, this is called the 2017 takedown. Is this kind of like an annual event that the IG does?
Yeah, we've been doing these healthcare fraud takedowns since July 2010. That was our first one. And by comparison, we charged 94 individuals with about $294 million in fraud. So these takedowns have grown, and it's a good opportunity for us to highlight our work and to, you know, hold fraudsters accountable and to just kind of look at a holistic approach to combating healthcare fraud.
Now, I said it was a good day's work, but in reality, how long did it take?
All these cases, I mean, in terms of the planning from here at headquarters, it was about 6 or 7 months of planning. But, you know, boots on the ground, the actual agents that are actually doing the work, these cases, some of them are 2 years old, a year old, some of them are relatively fresh. But, yeah, it takes a while to work these cases up because they're complicated, sophisticated fraudsters out there. And we want to make sure, you know, they have due process and we do thorough investigations.
And how do you get the tips or how do you find out where it is you want to focus? Because there is a large number of providers out there, hundreds of billions of dollars. Where do you know where to begin?
We get complaints from a multitude of sources. We have our own HHS hotline. We have proactive data analytics. We have a consolidated data analysis center here at headquarters, more or less our data hub. And they run algorithms every which way, and they kind of spit out referrals to us. We have CMS contractors that send us referrals. We have spinoffs. You have some people who cooperate and tell us about another clinic, another pharmacy, and so on and so forth. And then intelligence sharing with our federal, state, local partners. We have plenty of cases.
And who do you partner with? Is it other elements in HHS itself, and I guess CMS particularly, and also what about outside of federal?
Yes, our main partner of these strike force locations has been the FBI, DOJ Criminal Division, the U.S. Attorney's Offices, CMS in-house. We work with, on this takedown, 30 Medicaid fraud control units. And they've been prominent in these takedowns, at least last year and this year, because they are our kind of eyes and ears on the ground in terms of their expertise in the Medicaid realm. So that's a federal-state partnership. And there's 49 Medicaid fraud control units, and 30 of them participated in this national takedown.
And there are 412 defendants, 115 medical professionals. How many states are covered by the 41 federal districts that you worked in?
We do a lot of collaboration, and I think we've extended the scope of these takedowns dramatically over the last couple of years. And you know, back in 2010 and 2011. We kind of focused on the strike force areas, the kind of the hot spot areas, you know, your Miami's, Brooklyn, L.A., Detroit. And now we realize, and we've realized this for a long time, that, you know, just fraud is everywhere. Fraud migrates, fraud shifts, it changes, it morphs, and all that. So we've been expanding, and the DOJ Criminal Division has been doing a lot of outreach with U.S. Attorney's Offices across the country. And as you can see, we've expanded greatly.
If you had 30 Medicaid fraud control units, those are state-based, so that...
Those are, yes. It was definitely 30 states with the Medicaid fraud control units, yes.
I noticed also this year there seemed to be an opioid flavor to some of the findings.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, we have to do our job. We have a national epidemic, and in terms of the talking points, if you watched, you know, AG Sessions and our Secretary Price, they focused heavily their remarks on this opioid epidemic. And so we knew when we were starting to plan this in January that we had to do our part on this opioid epidemic. And so we gathered up and what cases we had in our current inventory. We work with our evaluators here at HHS, and they issued a data brief, and they looked at anomalies in prescribing habits, and they looked at beneficiaries that may be doctor shopping, and they issued a report concurrently with the takedown, our OEI office, Office of Evaluation and Inspections. And so some of those referrals, I think they came up with 400 that were highly suspect in terms of prescribing. And we sent those out to the field. We sent 80 to the field, and then we shared some with our federal, local, state partners.
We're speaking with Tom O'Donnell. He is Assistant Inspector General for Investigations at Health and Human Services. And it looks like many of the medical so-called professionals that you picked up here, and also pharmacists, were really pushing opioids, in effect. They were drug pushers for the purposes of getting payment from Medicare.
That's true. You know, you're never surprised. You just see some of these essentially pill mills. We've seen a number of these cases even prior to the takedown. We've seen them where they don't take your Medicare insurance. They just take cash for scripts, and they go fill them. And it's horrible.
And there are often rings. These aren't people operating independently or in secret. They have cohorts, and there's rings of 10, 20, 30 people. Can that also be their weakness in that someone finally looks at this and says, you know what, I don't feel good about this. I'm going to blow the whistle.
Yeah, you made a very good point. And you can start from the bottom up, and sometimes they have runners. Sometimes you have beneficiaries who divert their drugs. Sometimes they buy the drugs on the black market. There's a number of people there, and there's usually, you just focus on maybe some of the lower hanging fruit, you might say. And the days of just having like a single provider committing fraud, those days are bye-bye. It's usually a lot of rings. You look at, you know, every claim leaves a trail. So you follow the data analytics, you follow the pharmacy, see what they're dispensing, seeing what they're purchasing, and seeing that there's a void there. They only purchase this amount, but yet they dispense this amount. And then you just work on that case and use street intelligence and sources and things of that nature.
And how does it work from an agency program operational standpoint? Is there a specific office with someone in charge who has to coordinate all of these elements? You mentioned quite a few federal and many, many 30, 40 state and local law enforcement and social service agency anti-fraud units. How does it all coordinate?
We have a special agent in charge in our locations across the country. And they coordinate in their respective geographic regions. And each geographic region has their own sort of flavor. You know, Miami is pretty much ground zero for fraud. I mean, all the new schemes seem to start there. The early genesis starts there. Then they migrate and different areas. And then we have a Kansas City region where they do a lot of discretionary work, which would be sort of your non-Medicare, Medicaid work. And then we have, you know, LA region where they have a whole bunch of things going on. I mean, home health fraud is still prevalent across the country. Durable medical equipment fraud still spikes here and there. Infusion fraud, drug fraud, things of that nature. So everyone has their own little flavor, but they coordinate in their respective areas with their partners, whether it's the DEA, FBI, the MFUCUs, and then obviously CMS here sort of at a national level.
So I guess the ideal patient is someone who purports to be in pain and also needs a scooter.
That would be, yes. And the DME fraud, we kind of, that really spiked back in 2010, 2011, but we did a good job. And, you know, when we do these takedowns, we don't just do them to try and generate a lot of buzz. We do them and we check the impact that we're having, and we check the billings. And so we look in certain areas because we're targeting the hot spots, the hot fraud spots across the country. So we look at the billings before and after, and most times we see a very good decrease. So it's obviously a good deterrent effect.
And there was this one medical professional in Texas who was overprescribing and actually killed a couple people with opioids. He received $1.2 million in reimbursements, do you believe? Any chance of clawing some of that money back?
Yeah, we always. That's with the U.S. Attorney's Office. We always try and get as much as we can, try and seize assets. It's very difficult to get everything back, but we do as much as we can in terms of seizing accounts, seizing cars, seizing houses, and work with our partners to try and do that.
And the opioid manufacturers, the pharmaceutical companies, do they have any kinds of data flows or sales patterns that can also contribute to this?
We work with some of the prescription monitoring programs at the state level and look at some of the Schedule IIs, see what kind of wholesaler information we can analyze.
It's a multi-tiered distribution system, in other words, for drugs from the pill manufacturer to the palm of the hand of the person taking it.
Yeah, that's a tough. We're more at the level of the pharmacies. We just look at the pharmacies and see what they're purchasing from. It could be secondary wholesalers, tertiary wholesalers. That's what we look at, and then look at what was billed and just do that sort of in-and-out comparison. That's what we do. In terms of the pharmaceutical industry, we do have a number of active investigations on some of these pharmaceutical companies based on these QI TAMs, what you mentioned earlier, whistleblower complaints. And again, very complicated cases. And we have some active ones right now.
And what are you planning for the 2018 takedown?
For the 2018 takedown, there's no plans. I mean, we have been doing these every year, and we'll look at the data, we'll debrief, and we're going to debrief shortly and talk about the things that we did obviously right, and it was fairly seamless, and just looking to get better and better and better and smarter and more efficient on these cases. But we have no plans right now for the 2018 takedown.
Tom O'Donnell is Assistant Inspector General for Investigations at the Health and Human Services Department. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.